Off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Kia ora, Jenna, how are
Morena.
You?
Morena. Great.
It's very nice. Very nice to have you in the studio this morning.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Spooky looking book. What have you got?
Ghosts. I've got a book about ghosts, Ooh. And it's a true story. So Ooh. This is The Haunting of Alma Fielding, A True Ghost Story by Kate Summerscale. And this is newly shortlisted for the 2020 Bailey Gifford Prize, which is a British prize that awards nonfiction writing. And she's won this before with her book, The Suspicions of Mr. Witcher. So
there we go.
That's a TV show, right?
Maybe?
I don't know if it's a TV show, but I know the book.
Oh, cool. Yeah. And, you know, that's really... She's usually been writing about true crime, and she's delved into the ghosts. Ooh. So, in the 1920s, like, many Britons turned to spiritualism, I guess because of the war and communication with so many people that had died. And in 1938, there was a turn back towards it again, which Summerscale says... offered a sense of wonder and intimacy really found in the Church of England. Wow. So this is where this book is set, in 1938, over 4 months. And so our main person that she follows, a real man, he was the chief ghost hunter of the International Institute of Psychical Research.
Wow.
His name was Nandor Fodor, and he was a Hungarian Jewish refugee
Job still exist? No.
I don't think so, but it's kind of led me into curious. Like ghosts, you know, what's happening with ghost stuff now and how it's viewed in society.
Yeah, I feel like that's something I know nothing about.
Yeah. Actually, side note.
Cultural blind spot.
While reading this, you know, I was like, wow, people don't write like ghosts, about ghosts like they did here. Like there's a lot of journalistic writing. But then on the Herald 2 days ago, there was a story about this house in Pukekohe, haunted house.
You conjured it up. Conjured that story up. Just a side note, Suspicions of Mr. Witcher was a TV show. Just had a little Google.
Thank you. So Alma Fielding, the main subject of this book, she was a housewife in Croydon in East London, and she contacted a journalist after she and her family and their lodger experienced intensive poltergeist activity in their home. There's this whole chapter detailing the crockery and eggs and items that would fly around their house and into different rooms, which is quite scary.
I want to know what the categories are when you have to go through till you hit intensive poltergeist action. Yeah. You know, what's the threshold for that?
I feel like this might be something I'd like to dive into.
Oh yeah, I can see your eyes getting wider, because Fodor travelled the country, and I'm quoting from the book, to investigate hauntings, levitations, automatic writing and drawing, spirit possession, glossolalia, speaking in tongues, telepathy, the reading of minds, psychometry, I'm probably pronouncing this terribly, the reading of objects and materializations, which is like the thing that I really find hard to get my mind around, which is the production of objects and spirit photography. So he heard about Alma and starts an investigation. He stays at her home to experience this spiritual activity.
Intensive poltergeist action.
Yes. And it begins a very intense and mostly unethical relationship between the two of them and the people around them, as her being a research subject for these ghost hunters.
So this is all still true?
Yes. It's all researched and written down in history. Right. Yeah.
Someone's just texted and said, in What We Do in the Shadows, the main character, Dracula, was called Nandor from Hungary.
Oh, true.
So a coincidence?
Could have been based on that.
I never clicked that, and I love that TV show. Fodor and Alma had a lot of physical touch. You know, there's lots of holding her as watching items sort of appear in pockets and things. And they also work together a lot in shoplifting, which is standing outside stores and materializing items. So I just loved the insight into this time in history and the psyche and of how ghosts and ghost hunting was such a serious thing. Mm. Where now, I don't know, maybe it's kind of seen as a bit of a joke.
I don't know that it's seen as a joke. I just think it sounds fascinating. Exactly for what you said. You kind of look into the snapshot about like how people were culturally experiencing this, what it says about the way like newspapers were reporting on things, you know, you know, as you were saying, the kind of the ethics of doing research into something in a sense that would not necessarily fly nowadays as well, to go and live in that space and do all that stuff and maybe have a slightly inappropriate relationship going on.
Yeah, like, it really got me thinking about my contact with the spiritual world, and I guess, like, I feel like it only has ever really happened when I've been at home in Dunedin, and I'm like, wow, since I've lived in Auckland, I haven't felt nothing. nothing's come to say hello.
I feel like there is there's probably somewhere some quite serious ghost hunting going on now.
Totally.
There must be.
I stayed in this haunted hotel in Amargosa Valley in Death Valley, where half of it was closed because it was so haunted.
Whoa.
But I didn't see anything, but ghost hunters go in there and
hunt ghosts.
Vibe it out.
Yeah, vibe it out. I just had a really great sleep. But and I like how this book underlies the narrative with the political figures of the time. You have Anthony Eden, Hitler, Mussolini, and, you know, as the reader, we know the outcome of what the world was about to experience. So that's really haunting in itself.
Yeah.
But this, yeah, the golden age of psychical study was also the heyday of the supernatural hustle. And so I loved reading about the hustling supernatural
hustling
people.
Yeah.
And, you know, because they did a lot of things in the dark and
seances
and lots of string for this materialization. So Fodor really had to work very hard to find out whether these things were true or not.
Well, it's what I quite enjoyed about the TV adaptation of the Alan Akashin book was all of their depictions of the Victorian seances. I liked that in the book as well, actually, but in the TV show you get that kind of great glamorous red drop curtains and lots of dark velvet and stars and things going on, and it's all got that kind of theatre to it as well, which is quite fantastic.
Yeah.
Obviously a very different era, but that same kind of like harking back to a different day of ghost hunting.
And I guess a lot of the like people coming into New Zealand at that time were the waifs and strays floating in.
So to speak.
But also what this did is lay a lot of groundwork for psychoanalysts of research subjects that perhaps past traumas could be behind their ghostly encounters.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's really interesting.
Then you get into it, your Freud turns up in this. So you get into another
the
realm
ghost
of
Freud
research.
Arrives.
Yeah. So it's deeply researched, lots of characters. It's quite, you know, you can't just lightly read this. I was trying to read it yesterday and it was quite hard to concentrate. And your own belief or non-belief in ghosts could drive you through the narrative, I think. Is this all a hoax? You know, what does this mean? So I think if you're a true crime fan, I think the ghost thing can, like, be a nice side road to take, but also a history buff, and like if you're a spiritual pal,
that's my
a lot of it
feels like it's going to hit a lot of different nails.
That's right, and she's got a proven track record of being a great researcher.
Awesome. Remind us of the name.
The Haunting of Alma Fielding, A True Ghost Story. This is by Kate Summerscale, published by Bloomsbury. It's $33, and it's on the shelf at Time Out.
I am intrigued by this, and I'm very keen, so you know, sign me up for
The
haunting.
Cool.
Thank you very much, Jenna.
Kia ora.
That was Loose Reads.
It's certain.